Welcome to our podcast number two for Paleo with Me. Tonight, let's explore a bit deeper into the paleo diet. So, Dr. Agerman, why the paleo diet? We touched on this last week, but just a little bit more about how we're adjusting paleo from the Paleolithic times to now.
As I said last week, essentially this first came about when, you know, practitioners and health conscious people were trying to come up with a more meaningful way of eating relative to today's diet. And they thought, well, our ancestors did not have the problems that we have currently, the obesity, the autoimmune diseases, the rising rates of cancer, etc. So they said, would it be a good thing to look at eating that way and see what would come out of it? So what they essentially did was they looked at what the Paleolithic diet would have been composed of, which essentially at that time would have been nuts, seeds, meat primarily, which is, you know, was their base diet, and then thought, how do we adapt that to current times? In reality, in current times, we're a little bit further along and a little bit more sophisticated in terms of how we eat Paleolithically. It is a primarily meat-based diet. It's coupled with vegetables, and depending on who you are, there are other things that you can do with it. What is different about our current diet relative to the Paleolithic diet is that you also have, you can actually expand on the types of foods that you include in paleo, so that you can still do eggs, you can do bacon, and so there are some things that are a little bit different from the plain fare that our ancestors would have eaten. So that's our modern day Paleolithic diet.
So would you say that the paleo diet is a balanced diet that can be done like all of the time, or is it something that you start and stop, or how do you see it?
I guess it depends on the person. Generally, what I have found, and I mean, I go on and off paleo as, you know, as my body needs rise, is that you can use it as a very targeted treatment for certain shifts you're trying to achieve in your body, but it is also possible to live on it as a long-term diet. A lot of flack and the criticisms that the paleo diet has had is that it's not a balanced diet, but I find that it really becomes unbalanced if you become very strict and dogmatic about it, rather than, again, paying attention to how your body feels and what your body is asking for. Mm-hmm. So you can go on and off it as needed. If you achieve your goals, you can go on and off it. But it's also possible to make it a very well-rounded diet for somebody who likes eating that way and wants to stay on that diet.
So one question that I find that it's often asked is, mm-hmm. can I have dairy foods when I'm doing the paleo diet?
Okay. Again, that kind of harks back to the previous statement I made, that you can adjust paleo to suit yourself. So primarily the things that make paleo paleo is that it's supposed to be meat and veggies only. It's supposed to be very low on carbs. One of the things that people get confused about is sometimes they interchange paleo with keto. Keto diet is very different. In fact, keto diet is much more like the Atkins diet, where it allows totally no fruit, no carbs, and your meals are strictly meat and veggies. It actually requires you to go into ketosis, so you actually have to check your urine to be in ketosis, and it's a completely a protein breakdown diet. Paleo, you can be very strict on paleo, you can be much less strict on paleo, and depending on where you want to sit on the paleo spectrum, you can introduce eggs, you can introduce dairy, milk. Some people will even have different types of proteinaceous carbs that they can introduce into the diet as well. Mm-hmm. I find that dogmatic eating is difficult. And I think that for a lot of people, what makes paleo non-palatable is when they start to eat very dogmatically, where because it's all protein, they think that gives them carte blanche to eat bacon and processed meats as part of the paleo diet, and then we kind of veer again into ill health because they think just because they're eating protein that's okay. So there are certain nutrients that you need to try and find in your food, and I think that if you're judicious about where you get your nutrients from, then paleo is as good as any.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a bit about the vegan and vegetarian and immunocompromised versions of paleo?
Okay, so essentially, because with veganism essentially is just vegetarianism minus the fish and the eggs and dairy. So what they usually tend to do is they usually tend to be very heavy on veggies, and they tend to eat a lot of rice and, you know, those sorts of things to buttress their diet. So if you look at a vegan diet, there's a lot of carbs, and then there's a lot of beans and so on as their proteins, and a lot of vegetables that have high protein. And believe it or not, there are quite a few vegetables that do. You've got broccoli, you've got kale. Some of these come up very high as meat in their protein content. So they can actually meet their protein needs from the vegetarian aspect. Those people, if they want to do paleo with the veganism, have to really increase the amount of beans they eat. So for variety, they have to basically try all the different types of lentils. They have to really ramp up the high protein greens that they have. So your kales, your Swiss chard, your broccoli and so on, you have to really ramp up those ones because that's where you're going to get your protein from. So that's how you eat vegan paleo. That's where your protein sources come from, and you can get rid of the carbs in that sense if you do. However, even with doing that, if you have brown rice and stuff like amaranth, quinoa, and those sorts of old grains, if they have the husks on, they're actually much more proteinaceous. And so you actually get a lot of protein from that, much more than carbohydrates, actually, for those ones. They're actually high protein grains that you can use to replace as well. So that's how the veganism would be done. With autoimmune, it's really quite simple. Essentially, the things that we eliminate, we do an elimination diet. So for some people, gluten being the big culprit. For some people, dairy being the big culprit. For some people, as you do elimination diets, you come to find that maybe they have problems with nightshades, or problems with, you know, orange families or berry families, etc. That becomes a little bit what the autoimmune paleo diet is about, that when you eliminate the protein, you can't have the eggs if you're allergic to it. And so you kind of have to do an elimination with paleo to see what you can't eat. So for some people, that may be a fish only paleo if meat is a problem. For some people, that may be certain vegetables that you can't have in the paleo diet. But it's essentially eliminating those foods that give you trouble in the meat and veggie areas, and then staying on that. And you can actually mix and match and have quite a robust meal doing that. But what I kind of like to tell the audience, and kind of like to reiterate, is that when you start talking about doing these specialized diets, it's really important to think about it in terms of lifestyle changes, as opposed to this, you know, rule that you have to live by. So what I say to people all the time is that I'm not a fan of rigidity when it comes to doing these things. You know, life is life, and you have to kind of flow back and forth. If you're eating 80% paleo, you're still doing yourself a great service. And for those who say that, look, it's a very unrestricted diet, I think that if you're making sure that you're getting your nutrients in other areas so that you're replacing what you've lost from not having the carbs or having the fruit and so on, I think that you're actually going to be fine. Not a great fan of supplements, so I would say that whole foods are best. And if you're getting your nutrients in whole foods, then I think you're doing okay. But if every once in a while you fall off the wagon and you feel like eating something naughty, I say go for it. It just shouldn't be 80% of the time. Maybe 5, 10% of the time, and you get some balance that way.
Excellent. So I think that is the modern adaptation of what the fundamental nutrition and balance that existed many years ago.
Exactly.
And yeah, not being rigid about it, but being flexible. And we will provide recipes for the whole week ahead. We will provide a shopping list for that, so it makes it easy. And I think the key message is do it in a way that's easy and manageable for everyone who's coming on this journey with us, with Come Paleo with
Me. I think that to recap and build on what you said, this people need to think of this not as a sprint but as a marathon. Ultimately, healthy lifestyle is a lifelong decision. So anything that you do very dogmatically and very rigidly, you're going to fail at. And so when you're not used to eating that way, whether it's cutting out processed foods, whether it's cutting out drinking, whether it's cutting out, you know, smoking, all these other things that go along with starting to change your mindset about living a healthier life, these things take time.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're going on a paleo diet, you've got to get used to the kind of foods that you're going to be eating on a paleo diet and come to crave it over time, the same way you crave anything else. So I think that the message that I'd have for my audience primarily is that make sure that you are slowly introducing foods you like first. Make them more heavily on the paleo side rather than on the... So if you're somebody who likes eating a lot of carbs, this might be a time to do a 50-50 and then slowly shift to a 75-25
mm-hmm.
and then get to the point where maybe one meal a week you try full paleo in a taste concoction that you like.
Mm.
You know, save one day of the week for, you know, your naughty day where you're going to eat all the naughty things that you're not allowed on paleo.
Mm.
And then this way you're adjusting your mindset, you're adjusting your diet, and you're letting your body build itself a new craving for the right foods.
Mm-hmm.
So the cold turkey way of doing it, the rigid way of doing it, is what makes people fail. And that's why we call this a Come Paleo With Me journey. It's the reason we are doing this for 6 months is to give people time to get used to the process, to get used to thinking about how to cook, to get used to even questioning what they buy blindly at the supermarkets, and to put some thought into what it is they are putting into their bodies.
Mm.
And I think if we can achieve that at the end of this process, I think we'll have done a very good job of making people more aware. And if it's a 50% paleo week, and sometimes they do vegan, sometimes they do, you know, whole foods, well, guess what? That's the journey to health right there.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're hoping for. So,
excellent. So it's 7 days until we begin on
yes.
the 1st of June. So
yes.
this week we can start preparing, and we will be posting a preparation list for you to start getting ready for. And I think some
yeah.
of the main things this week are to go to your doctor or visit Dr. Agerman to
mm-hmm.
get your blood request form, to have your base bloodlines,
mm-hmm.
To get your measurements done,
yeah,
so that you have a baseline of where you're starting at for
yes.
this journey forward. And we look forward to sharing that with you.
Yes, and what I'd like to say to the people watching is that I think part of what makes it possible to do this and to convince people that this is working for them is to make sure that, you know, the CBC is done, the ELFTs are done, and A1C if you're diabetic, and to just get some of these tests done. I do recommend that everybody measure their arm around the middle of the arm, around the waistline, around the hips, because these are measures that predict metabolic syndrome and diabetes. If you come to us, we'll do caliper measurements, skin fold measurements as well, because we want to track how much weight you're losing, how much body fat you're losing as you go on this 6-month journey. And this is guaranteed for diabetics. If you go on a paleo diet, there's weight loss and there's improvement of diabetes, because diabetes is a carb disease. And so when you cut out the carbs, you do, your diabetes improves. So being able to prove this to yourself by having these blood work done, by having these tests done, I think it's going to be measurable in helping people stay motivated to do this with us.
Excellent. So in preparation for a life-changing journey that will improve your health and well-being with the guidance of a qualified functional medicine and holistic integrative medical practitioner, Dr. Okua Agerman, and her AIM High team. So our aim is to keep it simple and manageable on your budget and your daily schedule. And we will provide an abundance of health information with suggested recipes, ideas, and inspiration. Our weekly meal plans and all the information will be in two places
mm-hmm.
on our website, which is www.aimhigh.com.au/comepaleowithme, and on our Facebook page, Paleo With Me.
Yes, which they can search for the page at Paleo Jedi.
Excellent, thank you.
And
until next time.
See you all.
Bye.
Bye.